You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we would be honored if you do not have a church home. Maybe you're new to the area. There are so many new people moving into the area that maybe you're one of them, and you don't have a church home. We would like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We are a Pentecostal Protestant church, the largest Protestant denomination in the world, or not the largest Protestant, largest Pentecostal denomination in the world. We exist as a denomination to be the greatest missionary endeavor that the world has ever seen, because we want everyone to know Jesus Christ as Lord, or at least have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as Lord. Merritt Assembly of God is a church that exists to be a blessing to God, be a blessing to our families, be a blessing to our church, and to be a blessing to our community, to be a blessing spiritually, physically, financially, relationally, as many different ways as we can. That's what we choose to do, and it's the reason that we exist. So if you're looking for a church that preaches the Word, lives the Word, encourages people to be disciples, that's what we're talking about here, is being disciples. And right now we're looking at the essentiality of being saved. You must be saved to get into heaven. A lot of times you go to funerals, and there's some really bad theology at funerals. Well, I loved this person, so therefore they must be in heaven. The only way that people get into heaven is not because we loved them, but because they had asked Jesus to forgive their sins and be the Lord of their life. And so we preach the Word, and we pray that if you do not have a church home, that you would at least come by and give Merritt Assembly of God a visit. And you will find how much we long for the presence of God. When my daughters were choosing the college that they were going to go to, we did not tell them which college to go to. All we said was this: look, you have spent your teenage years in a small church with little to no youth group at that point in time. And we think that work is important. We also think that faith is important, and all we ask is that you would consider this one particular university and then make your decision. We're not here to tell you. I lived that. I didn't want them to live that. So they went and saw what a Christian university had. They saw what the premier university in their field had to offer, and they said, I don't want to live in this environment. And so they ended up choosing the university that they wanted to. Here's a newsflash. They chose differently than what I would have recommended to them, even though I would have preferred that they end up there. That's not where I would have had them start. But we said, hey, you pray about it. We'll support the decision. You've got to learn to walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And so we're just here to help guide you in that process. We're not here to make the decisions for you. We just want to teach you how to think and how to make decisions, how to be led by the Lord. And so if you are looking for a church, we'd like to invite you to Merit Assembly of God. I'd be honored to meet you, talk with you, and see if God puts the two of us on a path towards maturity together. We had some people that earlier this spring, they visited the church, and they absolutely fell in love with the church from the first time that they were there. And sadly, they spend a good portion of their time up north, but we are looking forward to them being back as soon as possible. So Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship service at 10:30 and discipleship on Wednesday nights at 7. We would invite you to any of those that you could attend. Today we are going to go into the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we are going to be journeying through verses 23 through 33. If I were to put a title on this message, and I don't know that we're going to be able to get all the way through this today or not, but it would a summary would be this: our behavior has impact on those that may be saved. Our behavior has impact on those that may be saved. So let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 23. We're going to refer to some verses up above that as well. But let's start our reading in verse number 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you. And for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, and here is the point, the reason that we're in this passage, that they may be, I'm not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So I was doing some study recently, and I encountered this, that there were three types of meat that you could find in Corinth and during New Testament times. Jews would only eat things that were butchered by a Jewish butcher, and they would only eat certain cuts of the animal. There were certain parts of the animal that they had deemed that they did not want to have any part of. Then there were butchers that weren't Jewish, and so many of the Jews had converted to Christianity, many of them would not eat any meat that were offered by Gentile believers. So they brought some of their past, some of their Judaistic beliefs, they brought those into their New Testament relationship, and even though there were butchers that were offering just regular meat in the market, many of them would say, no, you're not a Jewish butcher, so I'm not going to have any part of that. Then there was also meat that was being butchered that had been specifically presented as a sacrifice to idols, which Paul points out in verse number 20, was actually offered to demons. Look at verse number 20. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. And so there were people who were offering ritualistic clean meat. There was people who were offering meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And then there were people who were just there making a living, and they were just butchering meat. That was all that they were doing. So there were these three different sources, and that sets the stage for what Paul is writing about here in chapter 10. They were specifically instructed not to eat any meat that they had been informed was from this category, that had been offered as a sacrifice to one of the local deities, which were demonically empowered. To willfully do this would provoke the Lord to jealousy. Paul writes them, and he said, you can't participate in the Lord's cup and the cup of demons. You can't participate in the Lord's table and the table of demons. You are supposed to, at that point in time, where there is information that says this came from a sacrifice to demons, then you need to excuse yourself, because there should be a distinct behavior between believers and unbelievers, between people who are worshiping God and people who are worshiping things that were demonically empowered. I don't want to have anything to do with things that I know are associated with demonic idolatry. Don't want to have anything to do with it. If that means that I fast, I'll be glad to fast. If you were to come to one of our fellowship dinners, you will find that almost 100% of the time, there are some exceptions. If there's an anniversary dinner, like I think we did something for our 30th anniversary, if there's something for my birthday or something like that, pastor appreciation, then they want me to eat first. Almost all of the other time, when it comes to fellowship, I want other people to get to partake of the meal before me. The reason for that is if we were to run out of food, I'm going to be okay. I can stop by Taco Bell on the way home, grab me a taco, I'm going to be fine. I can eat leftovers when I get to my house. I'll be fine. I can stop by the grocery store, grab a chicken. I'll be fine. And very rarely have we ever run low on food. Now, we also implement a sign-up sheet on our potluck dinners, our fellowship dinners, because at one point in time, we had a strange season where everybody brought dessert. Nobody brought anything that was a main entree. And so, fortunately, my wife knows how to think on her feet. And while they were putting that together, we put some funds together and went and got a bunch of chicken or something from the grocery store, so that when it came time to eat, not everybody was having dessert. So we try and have a balance. So Paul is trying to teach the church in Corinth that when you are sharing a meal, and especially sharing a meal with an unbeliever, that you've got to think of their spiritual needs, not just your own physical desires or your physical something that's going to please your taste buds. So as a believer, the Lord's jurisdiction extends to sanctifying whatever food they were to eat with a sincere heart. And so if there's a person that said, hey, you want to grab lunch, yeah, I can go grab lunch. And you know what? Most people that I eat with, they know that I'm a pastor and that I'm going to be thankful for the food that I eat. So my wife was watching a comedian presentation, a Christian comedian, and she was describing how there was a person that wasn't a Christian that actually found her to be so funny that they wanted to be part of her production, her marketing. And so they began this journey together, one a believer, one a business person that wasn't a believer, and they began to ask questions. And they asked good questions. And so as the relationship continued to develop, and it's a business relationship, but for this comedian, it was an evangelistic relationship. Not romantic, business, kingdom business. And so this comedian said, you know, I put together a team every year to go on a missions trip to a third world country. Would you like to go on this missions trip with my team? And this person said, I would be honored. And so they went on this trip, and every day there was somebody that was giving a devotion. And the person continued to ask questions. One of the questions they asked, which is the reason that I'm telling this story, is the person said, wow, you all pray over your food a lot. Why do you feel like you have to pray over your food at every meal? I worked for a pastor one time, and he said, to save time, I just want to, when we bring the groceries and we set them on the counter, we want to say, God, we want to thank you for the groceries that you have provided for us. We thank you for this food. We give thanks, and we're going to celebrate it. We're going to enjoy it. And he said, and so we've prayed all of over all the food before we've even prepared it. This guy said, you all pray over everything you eat. Why do you do that? Why do you pray over your food? And the food was being provided by the people that they were ministering to. And this comedian looked down and said, do you know what you're eating? And he said, no, I have no idea. And she said, and that's why we pray over our meal, is we want to give thanks for it. We want God to sanctify it. And I will tell you the end of the story. I'm not telling every detail. But at the end of the week, this unbeliever said, you know, everybody else has got to share something during this devotion time. Can I share something? And so the comedian said, yes, go ahead. He said, I know some of the most powerful and influential people in Hollywood. They have more money, more resources, more possessions than you could possibly imagine. And they are miserable. There are so many miserable people in the industry that I deal with. And he said, and I've come on this trip, and we're ministering to people who are among some of the poorest people I've ever encountered in my life. And they have so much joy, joy that doesn't come from possessions, but joy that comes from having a relationship with Jesus. And I want that type of joy in my life. You see, how we conduct ourselves a lot of times we think we're just going to make a presentation and people are going to automatically respond. But what I have found is that people are watching our behavior to see if we're going to live out the gospel that we say that we believe. And they may watch for days, they may watch for weeks or months, they may watch for years before they make a decision. But I want to encourage you, continue to live out your faith, even in a hostile environment. Let God be clearly seen as the reason you behave the way that you do in public, in your home, and in your business. I've known people who advertised that they ran a Christian business that they didn't run in a Christian manner, and they weren't coming to Merit Assembly of God. But that makes me not want to do business with them. You see, I would rather do business with an unbeliever that I know is an unbeliever than I would a believer who's going to do business like an unbeliever. I don't know what I'm going to get there. I know what I'm going to get. Now, my preference is to deal with a Christian business like I'm talking about here on the radio and recommending, you know, on a weekly basis. I want to recommend Christians who live like Christians, do business like Christians, and allow God to use them and bless them and provide for them. So Jesus has the ability to sanctify the food that we eat. So we need to give thanks for that. It goes on here, and it says in verse number 23, we're not going to get through all of this passage today. It says, all things are lawful for me. It says that twice. There are some people who misinterpret that to believe that that means they can just do whatever they want. They live a life of abusing God's grace. And don't think that the Ten Commandments are still in effect. That's not what Paul is talking about here. He says all things are lawful. That means that there are things that are permitted for me, that are authorized to me. And in verse number 26, it says, because the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. So in the Old Testament, it says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So He also owns the hills and the minerals under the hills. Everything belongs to God. And so we need to look at Him as being our ultimate source. So there are people who say, look, it says all things are lawful for me. And so I can go and I can have this immoral relationship, or I can go and I could do this, and they misappropriate one verse and take it out of context, knowing full well that God has told us in other places in the Word of God that we are not supposed to participate in those things. So when it says all things are lawful, it's talking about here that, you know, if you're with Jewish believers and you eat only the front part of the cow, and that cow was offered, processed by a Jewish butcher, fine. If you are with a Gentile believer and they say, hey, you want to come over for a burger, and you know that they're loving God, and you say, sure, I can come over for a burger, that you behave in that way, in a way that is going to benefit that believer. You're going to have a time of fellowship. And if you are with an unbeliever and the unbeliever says, hey, I want you to know I've launched out into a spiritual journey and I offered this to the local idol before you came over, at that point in time you say, you know, really, instead of offering it to an idol, we need to recognize that God, The Lord God Almighty created this. It shouldn't be offered to some idol that has no ears to hear, no mouth to speak, no eyes to perceive, and no hands to extend any reach for you. Instead, would you like to hear about the God I serve, who sent his son to die on a cross so that my sins could be forgiven and your sins could be forgiven? Then he was raised from the dead and sent God the Holy Spirit to empower us to be witnesses. Every one of the circumstances you could find yourself in, God says, it's permissible for you to be in that situation. He says, not everything is helpful. And so you and I are supposed to operate in such a way that the things that we do are profitable. They bring people together. Again, these are definitions from the lexicon. This isn't just something that I put together. These are things that I found in the Greek lexicon, bringing people together instead of dividing them. Okay. Now, there are some absolutes in the kingdom. You've got to but if there's an opportunity that you have to spend some time with somebody and share Jesus in a lifestyle as well as in your words, I'm telling you, Jesus is going to make that a profitable experience. You do things for the benefit of those you're spending time with, or things that are going to be advantageous for them. What Paul is describing is walking in the law of love. He instructs those in the church to love their neighbors to such an extent that they would factor in how their liberty is going to impact the people they are trying to share Jesus with. Never forget, you are surrounded by people who are watching you. I remember as a teenager, we had a Sunday school. We called them quarterlies. That was because they had 13 lessons in them. You would go throughout that little booklet once a quarter, and so they called them quarterlies. And the one that I remember from being maybe a preteen to an early teenager, it was called Life in the Fishbowl. And it was a study about the book of Corinthians, and it was describing people are watching you. Live each day in every situation to the best of your ability in such a manner that people will see Jesus living in you and want Jesus living in them. So God bless you. You have a great day. We will be back on Monday here on the Refresh Radio
Thank
program.
You for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.